have an audio family reunion right here on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington. Peace.
Turn it around.
If we all could love one another, all the world could be as one. Just take time to love one another, all the world could be as one. Black man, white man, standing together, no more fighting to be done. Yellow, red man, dancing together, all the world could be as one.
And welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni with Chuck. Good morning, Chuck. And we are going to be giving a salute this morning for the hour for our very own Dori Ladner, who needs no introduction to many of you. She is very much a part of the WPFW family. Could be heard on Lance Reynolds' show for the last many years. A Saturday morning was often on our show. Called all the programmers, and she's not leaving us. She did leave supposedly exactly a week ago today during this hour. And one of our wonderful guests, we have three main guests this morning, Ayanna Gregory, who's also part of our family, daughter of Dick Gregory, is going to be singing a special song around the time that Dori Ladner passed, which was around a little bit before 10:30 a.m. Our other two guests with us this morning is Frank Smith, a veteran of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, very close friend of Dori and Joyce, has known them since the early 60s, and also our very own Greg Carr, who maybe he will break out in a song this morning. He did a magnificent two-hour special on his In Class with Carr show on Saturday, and I'll be asking him to share some of what he said on Saturday. We had three guests who are not going to be able to make it, but that's okay. This is not going to be the last time we're doing a tribute to our Dori Ladner. Her sister Joyce, who was the first one to say she wanted to be on, needed to rest this morning, so she's taking a well-deserved rest. It's only been a week since her sister transitioned. Joyce had asked to invite Cynthia Palmer, who's in Jackson, Mississippi, the director of the Veterans of the Mississippi Civil Rights Movement. Cynthia is also sick, not feeling well this morning. And last but not least, Derek Johnson, who is the president of the NAACP, also down there in Jackson, Mississippi, very close with Dori. Dori was always asked me to call him. We've had him on the air many times, but as some of you may know, he had the NAACP Image Awards on Saturday night, and they made sure to honor Dori as one of the people who had transitioned last year, right there with Tina Turner, Harry Belafonte, Randall Robinson, Les McCain, and a lot of others. And I must say, Joyce was very proud, as was I, to see Dori flash by that screen. We're going to start the program with Ayanna. Will be singing several songs throughout the hour, so she's going to start us off with Woke Up This Morning. Good morning, Ayanna. You ready to sing? If not, we'll move into okay. Oops,
I didn't realize I was muted. Sorry. Good morning, Joan and Seven.
Okay. Good morning. So, how about woke up this morning?
All right. Yes, ma'am. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed freedom. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on freedom. Oh, I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on freedom. Walking and talking with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And thank you. Thank you, Yana. And we're going to, in a minute, jump to Frank Smith, who, of course, has known Dory and Joyce for many, many decades. But I'd like to ask Greg to share a couple of things he said on his program on Saturday. He quoted Dory Ladner about when she was being interviewed by the History Makers and answering the question, what are her hopes for the Black community, and how would you like to be remembered? So welcome, Greg. I don't know if you can share some of those very wise statements from Dory.
Absolutely. Good morning, Joni. Good morning, Brother Frank, and good morning, my sister. Only Ayanna Gregory can wake you up in the morning like that. I'm ready to go fight for some freedom this morning. listening to Yana in the context of our sister Dory is just a reminder that, you know, that awful day must surely come, and we all go that way. But as we go, the people keep coming, and the strong women and the strong men keep coming. And so just a beautiful way to open up this morning. So, yeah, on Saturday, we talked a lot about Miss Dory, as Lance would call her, and his tribute was so beautiful on PFW on Saturday. And one of the things that we shared was a conversation that she had for the History Makers Digital Archive back in 2008 with our brother Kwaku Larry Crow, who has interviewed over 2,000 different history makers in the Black community over the last almost 30 years. And he asks a couple of questions of everyone he interviews at the end of their long interviews. And one of them is, what are your hopes for the Black community? And so what Mama Dory said was, and this is a direct quote, she said that each person would be able to live a quality life. When I say quality life, good food, good shelter, clothing, education, those are basics for survival. Good health care, survival. And then that each child learn its history, each adult learns its history. And then finally, the last question that he asks is, how would you like to be remembered? And it's a beautiful question because, as you can imagine, as I said, we all transition. So to be able to give your own testimony is just a beautiful thing to be able to do. And this is the short thing that she said. She told Larry, and she's telling us now for posterity. She said, I want to be remembered, as I said earlier, as a warrior, a fighter for human rights, one who was very passionate, one who was devoted to making life better for mankind without respect or race. I've always been for the person, the less fortunate, and those who have less, but I'm also about teaching, and I want our people to learn their history, both white and Black, because the more I read, the more I learn that we, none of us really know our history. Whether we're from Europe or Africa, we don't really know the history. We only know what the history books have said, that have been written. But we need to study more. And by doing that, we will begin to understand each other and to share a common bond. So that's the words from Ms. Dorianne Lamb.
Thank you, Greg Carr. And I encourage listeners, those of you who can get on YouTube, to check out In Class with Carr, from Saturday, March 16th. Of course, he has many other programs, but he spent most of his 2 hours on Dory Ladner. Very inspiring. And with that said, we have our, Chuck and I are giving Frank Smith our invisible, inaudible, magical drum roll for Frank Smith. Frank Smith wears many hats. Of course, he's the founder of the African American Civil War Museum, served on city council for many, many years in Ward 1, and has known Dory and Joyce since, I believe it was 1962. So welcome, Frank Smith.
Good morning, Joni, and good morning, Dr. Carr, and the audience, my good friend Chuck.
Morning.
glad to be with all of you all one more time. And I agree. Let me second what Dr. Carr said about Ayanna Gregory waking us up with our mind on freedom.
Yes, she's going to
make us want to march out here and do something.
Frank, our condolences to your loss. I know that's your sister, brother.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, hey, look, let me say two things. One of them, I want to start out with my Dick Gregory story, since I heard from Ayanna. So, and I think she heard me tell her father this one time. So this goes back to Greenwood, Mississippi. We're in the Mississippi Delta trying to register people to vote. And all these people live on these plantations. We go out there and get them to go get their name on the rolls, Dory, myself, her sister, all these people. And, you know, we look like farm workers out there every day. But I've got a straw hat. I wore a straw hat every day then. Still wear it sometimes now. Dungarees and brocade shoes. So we're out there trying to talk to these farm workers. These people try to register to vote. They all get evicted. So we got them living in tents. They live in all kinds of places. And we're getting people to send us food down from up north. Dick Gregory, who was one of the most prosperous comedians in the country at the time, black comedians, Dick Gregory organized an airplane. And I had never seen this for the first time, and maybe the last time I ever saw this, too. Dick Gregory organized an airplane. He chartered a plane, I think from Chicago. Mm-hmm. He brought an airplane full of food to the Mississippi Delta. And here was the striking thing. So we're standing out here, all the civil rights workers, to meet the plane so we can get all these groceries and stuff, put them in the car, and take them to distribute to people. So we're out here watching. Dick Gregory steps off this plane, steps on out of the plane, and puts his victory hands up in the air like this. First time I ever saw a black man with his own airplane. Dick Gregory was a bad dude, y'all. I'm telling y'all this right now. He flew a plane to the Mississippi Delta. It gave us all such inspiration to see that a black man could come out of the sky with an airplane full of groceries, and then we go distribute them to these people.
14,000 pounds of food. Frank, he had 14,000 pounds of food.
That was part of our campaign to let people know that we were going to stick by them. We weren't just going to leave them on the side of the road. Because if that ever happened, it would be impossible to get people to go register to vote, because they knew they were going to get punished, and that we didn't come provide some kind of help for them. And really, that's the story. That's really the Dory Ladner story. And I want to say one other thing about Dory, which is interesting. The white people of Mississippi, the Ku Klux Klan and all those people, wanted to describe the civil rights movement as outside agitators. Mm-hmm. Now, Joyce and I had a conversation about this two nights ago. The fact of the matter is, most of the SNCC staff in Mississippi was local people. Dory and Joyce were born in Mississippi. John Jones, all these people, Curtis Muhammad, all these people were born in Mississippi, Cynthia Palmer. These were local Mississippi people who were leading the civil rights movement. Now, people like me were providing a little tech support and a little inspiration every now and then, but I came off of a Georgia plantation myself. Georgia was second only to Mississippi in the number of people who was lynched during those terrible lynching days. So I wanted to say that to people, that this was much like what happened during the Civil War, when the Union Army decides to let black people come into the army because they needed them. 150,000 of these people are enslaved when the war started. They were living in these states where they had been enslaved for all these many years. 17,000 people in Mississippi joined the Union Army to fight for their freedom. So this was an uprising of local people in the state of Mississippi in the Civil War, and so in the Civil Rights Movement, too. And I wanted to say that today to people, because I think people can tend to believe that those of us who stayed in the South were born in the South, that we got used to being subservient and we got used to being saying yes sir, no sir, and smiling when it wasn't funny. But when the Civil Rights Movement started, what happened in Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama, these movements were successful because the local people rose up in mass and they joined these picket lines and they went to jail with us. And when they didn't go to jail, they picketed the jailhouse. And then when we finally needed their help, they come and bond us out of jail. These were local Mississippi people putting up their own property to bond us out of jail. So I wanted to share that story with you, because Dory, more than anybody else, she is just a symbol of this. But she and her family And Dory talks about having been involved in the NAACP when she was in high school in mm-hmm. Mississippi. And I think that's where she met Mayor Evers. And
yeah, she
those
helped.
Of you know that, that she was the last person to see him before he passed away. So I wanted to introduce Dory that way because I don't know that people who have never studied the civil rights movement know how really how massive this organization was and how we were able to get the local people finally rise up out of all this frustration and say, I'm not scared of nobody. As Fannie Lou Hamer would say, I ain't scared of nobody because I want my freedom.
Absolutely.
I ain't scared of no sheriff because I want my freedom. And these are local people singing these songs. And boy, when we get to singing those songs and marching down those roads, people get out of the way because they didn't know what we might do. So sometimes we weren't sure we knew what we were going to do ourselves. But we know we were going somewhere to do something because it was time for freedom.
Absolutely. And Dory and Joyce helped to organize the NAACP Youth Council chapter in Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
And they, I didn't realize that Dory was influential in starting the Freedom Rides and the summer and the Freedom Summer Project. But Frank, I wanted to ask you to share a little bit. Joyce was going to talk about this, about the courageous work that Dory did in Natchez. Apparently there was a SNCC project and, I guess that was one of the times Dory was almost killed. So I don't know if you can share.
Yeah, I was in the Delta in the north part of the state and didn't do much work south of Jackson or Vicksburg. But SNCC had people working all over the state. And I'm not certain how Dory got to Natchez, Mississippi. But I think it has something to do with that horrible bombing that took place down there, and SNCC sent some people down to see about it. And I think Dory ended up staying down there.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Natchez about in June of last year with my staff. I'm doing something with the Park Service, and they have a Park Service site down there where there was a Civil War camp during the Civil War, and I went down for that. And I came up on a little house right there on Main Street, and there was a sign there that had the names of all these civil rights workers who had been there, and Dory Ladner is one of those people. They're talking about putting a little park up down there for Dory now. Her name is on the sign there as in that house, where I think where they stayed, where the civil rights workers who were in Natchez at the time lived while they were doing this these demonstrations. And let me say that something else about Natchez, because this is Natchez was probably one of the more violent places in Mississippi, quite honestly. And SNCC, when I hear people talking about the World War II veterans being America's greatest generation, SNCC, you know, our policy was that if the local people started a demonstration in that town, they got arrested and got something happened to them, we went where they were. Our job was to go help them organize, make it bigger, let them know they had some outside support and that we were going to stick by them. And that's what Dory did in Natchez. She went down there. I think it was she and I think a guy named Ware and some third person whose name is escaping me right now. But they started out themselves, just three people. They eventually had a whole organization going down there in Natchez. And they took over this little town and registered a lot of voters down there in Natchez. And they, as I said before, they have a name right now up on a big plaque down there. I saw it back in June of this year, so I know it's there because I saw it with my own eyes. And she's going to be remembered all around the country in various different ways. And so Natchez is just one of those places.
Absolutely. And I think she was almost – they meant to shoot her down there, but they didn't get her. and Frank, I know we have a lot to cover, a little bit of time, but talk a little bit about, some people may not know that Fannie Lou Hamer, I believe it was Dory and her good friend Lawrence Guillot who helped to recruit Fannie Lou Hamer into the movement. She's told me that story many times. Can you share a little bit about the relationship between Fannie Lou Hamer and Dory?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Ms. Hamer herself said that she had been, I heard these words come out of her mouth, that she had been working. She said she'd been thinking about voting all of her life and had probably just waiting on an opportunity to do something. And then she said she met these two SNCC people, Guillot and once again, so Mrs. Hamer is from Mississippi She meets two other people from this in the civil rights movement, who convince her that we can all do something good together, and if we stick together, we'll be safe and we'll survive this, and we'll go on and register a lot of voters. But this notion, I'm back again on this thing about us being outside agitators, and what I'm really saying to the people of Mississippi and the people of this nation was that we became free. We were able to get people to register to vote in Mississippi because the people of Mississippi decided they've had enough of this nonsense. And Fannie Lambert was one of those. This is a guy out there who we talked about, and who was from a place called Pass Christian, Mississippi. It was not far, by the way, from Hattiesburg, where Dury was born. So once Ms. Lambert sees these several civil rights workers, but and she says, they inspired me to join. And she was about 10 years older than we were. Now, in those days, when you're 10 years older than somebody, that's old, you're real old, and you're in another generation, another hemisphere. But she said, these young students convinced me that I ought to get out there and start trying to keep up with them. And it was kind of funny because we thought we thought we were keeping up with the local people. We thought we were keeping people like Fannie Lou Hamer. And these people, let me say one other thing about this, too. If there was anybody in the world who knew how violent white people were, it was the local people from Mississippi, people who were born there, who heard these stories, who had seen these stories. I was talking to Joyce the other night, Joyce Ladner's, Dory's sister, and she told me about the time when they were in high school and somebody had been lynched on the railroad track near where they lived. And they went up there to see this horror scene of somebody who was lying, who had been hit by a train. So I said, Joyce, why would you all do that? Why would you want to go lay eyes on what you knew was a mutilated body, had been hit by a train? And the point they got there, nobody even covered it up. She said, well, we had to see it. See, we knew our people were being treated badly, and we didn't know what it all was, but it gave us a chance. Now, she was in high school, and maybe 14 or 15 years of age. Joyce said she and Dory joined several other people to go see this. Because they knew, but if there was anybody in the world who knew how violent those Mississippi Klans people were, it was Dorian Joyce and Willie Peacock and all those people who were born in the state, Lawrence Guyot. And of course, I experienced some of it in Georgia coming up, because as I said earlier, Georgia only had one fewer lynching than Mississippi did. If it wasn't for Mississippi, Georgia would have been number one. So I was familiar with those stories myself, but there's nothing like seeing it on the ground. And they were the real inspiration. I'm sure that Ms. Amy, when she saw there were two other Mississippi people who were involved in SNCC, and, I was always kind of bossy. So I'm sure once he said to her, you got to do this, you ain't got no choice, she probably looked at him and said, I'm going to follow you one time to see how this comes out. But yes. She ends up with us, going to these SNCC conferences and really living most of her life involved in the civil rights, actually being brutally beaten at a jail in Winona, Mississippi, Miss Hamer, which really injured her forever. She finally died from injuries that she got from that jail in Winona, Mississippi, which was an awful scene. So
that's right. I think, Frank, if I'm not mistaken, Guyot was beaten up in that jail. I think
absolutely. Yeah, what happened was that Guyot, so we're in Greenwood, Mississippi. We get worried that Ms. Hamer and June Johnson, her mother, Mrs. Johnson, and Sylvester Simpson, several people have been arrested and put in jail in Winona, Mississippi. And as is the SNCC pattern, Guyot goes over there. And I don't even remember who drove Guyot over there. I think it might have been McLaurin. Drove Guyot over to the jailhouse. We had gotten the money together to try to burn these people out. It was about 12 of them, I think. And so they get over there, and they lock Guyot up. And he gets put in jail. Now we got Ms. Hamer, her group, and plus Guyot. And they beat everybody. Ms. Hamer described this many times in her speech. She actually talked about this at the Democratic Convention. She talked about how dangerous it was to try to register to vote in Mississippi, how she had been brutally beaten. But they separate Guyot, and they take him. They took him to a Klan meeting, where they just pass his body around, beating him up. And And so when we went to get Ms. Hamer and them out, Giap wasn't there. And quite frankly, I went over there, me and Eleanor Holmes Norton, who's now a congresswoman, who was a volunteer lawyer in Mississippi at the time. So now it's our job to go get Guy out and everybody else out of jail. And we finally get him out. And we didn't get Guy out at that time. He actually, Guy was still in jail when we had the March on Washington. That's why he wasn't here for the March on Washington. So it was a horrible time for many people down there.
Yes. And
remember something now. At the time, when I talk about Dory and Joyce and all of us being in Greenwood, Mississippi, Dory's home is in Hattiesburg, which is about 200 miles south. Her family, her mother, father, sisters, and brothers, and her community, her church. We're uprooted from our churches and our communities and our familiar surroundings. We form another sort of cohort of civil rights workers ourselves. Now we are each other's protectors. We drive together. We ride together. We go on voter registration drives together. We stayed in what we call freedom houses, where we would rent sometimes two or three houses, where we all lived together and huddled at night in fear and prayed our way through the next day. So it was pretty. It was a pretty stressful time for all of us. And I'm sure that people, when you think about this now, and I know I was in Mississippi for a total of 6 years. You think about that now, but we don't do our soldiers that way on the battlefield. Now you get 90-day deployments to the front line now in the Army. You don't get no 3-year deployments like they did in the Civil War with SNCC.
Frank, I just wanted to share that the last words I had with Doria. Doria and I always used to talk about Giat quite a lot. And Giat, for people who don't know, was very much a part and still is a part of this WPFW family. He lived in D.C. for many decades once he left Mississippi. But he was off and on with me, and Dory and Giat were on together. So the very last words, the last time she was able to speak, which was right before we celebrated her on PFW's birthday, February 28th, she was laughing in her bed about Giat. So Giat is with us today, too. And I wanted to jump now for Ayanna to sing. She created a special song in honor of Dory. Actually, a couple years ago when we gathered together in June, I think it was, at the Tacoma Busboys and Poets, we were hoping to celebrate Dory's birthday, but she was sick that day, so she couldn't make it. But Ayanna is going to share a song, and I also want to share, and Chuck can verify, I think this is exactly the time a week ago when we were on the air, around 10:25 a.m. or so, when Dory transitioned. So we thought this would be a good time for Ayanna to share this song.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Thank you, Joni. I just want to say I can't explain how warm my heart feels just listening to these stories, Brother Frank. I'm just so grateful. So just being on here with you, Frank, Greg, Joni, Chuck, I just feel so, so blessed. So, so incredibly blessed. Like, this has made my day. So I'm going to share this piece a cappella. The song was actually based on a song that India Arie wrote for Stevie Wonder called Wonderful, but I just kind of changed up some of the words to make it specific to Dory. Okay. Goes like this. You are the sunshine of our lives, queen mother of our time, fearless warrior divine, ancient wisdom, brilliant mind. You took us to a higher ground, yeah, and you lived your life so fearlessly. Lately, we've been thinking about you. Cause you lived your life for the community. You inspire me. The way you moved so brilliantly is amazing. The way you stood for righteousness is engaging. You are everything we hope to be. You have touched my soul. I want you to know that you are my hero. You got so much soul. To put it plain and simple, You are wonderful. From SNCC, Freedom Summer, and Freedom Rise, you stepped up to organize. You put your life right on the line. And you stood up for the Tougaloo Nine. You dedicated all your time, yeah, to elevate humankind. You never walked away from the fight. A true mother of civil rights. You inspire me. The way you move so brilliantly is amazing. The way you stood for righteousness is engaging. You are everything we hope to be. You have touched my soul. I want you to know you are my Shiro. You got so much soul. To put it plain and simple, Mama Dori Ladner, you are wonderful.
And
love you,
Queen
Mother.
Thank beautiful, you, Ayana. Beautiful. You are wonderful. And you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM, Jazz and Justice Radio. This is Joni with Chuck. And today we're doing a salute to our own Dori Ladner, who will never leave us, left us in one dimension at least exactly a week ago today on March 11th, 2024. Interestingly enough, the day after that's noted for Harriet Tubman having left out was on March 10th, and of course, International Women's Month. We are going to, in a moment, hear from somebody by the name of Deborah Menkard, who can will jump in and off. She's with Teaching for Change and also knew Dori very well. But Ayana, if you'd like to share anything more about, of course, your dad and Dori, and Greg Carr talks about this quite a bit, that whenever your dad would often talk about Dori, seeing Dori at every march, civil rights march that he went to. But share a little bit that you might want to about your dad and Dori, or
absolutely.
Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Frank shared the story about dad, you know, coming in with 14,000 tons of food on the airplane, and of course, I'm sure Dori was always there. And you know, obviously, you knew the connection between dad and Medgar Evers. And I was just reading that she was with Medgar at a dinner, you know, the mm-hmm. evening before the evening that he was murdered. And so, you know, whenever certain names are brought up, you know, names that I was not even as familiar with, Dori Ladner was a name that I knew, but I didn't really get to spend much time with her. But then, you know, maybe 10 years ago or so, I feel like maybe it was one of the first times that I was actually around her and just listening to her stories and talking about, you know, her connection with dad. And even my mom, you know, my mother, who's, you know, one of the unsung sheroes, another unsung shero in the movement. My mom doesn't often talk about the movement. You know, she was also our mother and responsible for taking care of us in a way that my dad, you know, couldn't really be, you know. But she was also on the front line. And so when I just remember when I said Dori Ladner's name to my mom, and, you know, my mom has dementia and she's still, you know, she's still with it and very alert, and her memory of the past is still quite vivid. And when I said Dori Ladner's name, there's not a lot of names that I'll say where she's like, I mean, immediately she just lit up and said, yes, I know her. I remember her. And she just smiled. And there's a picture of Dori and mom. And I think it's 2018. 18 or 19 at a tribute that we did for my mom in Silver Spring, and Dori was there, and they got to see each other. I'm sure they hadn't seen each other in literally decades. And it was just a blessing because, you know, I just remember my mom saying, like, I know her. And when my mom says that, I know that it means something more than just I know her. She just had such a beautiful smile on her face, and she just lit up Dori Ladner. Like, I haven't heard that name in a while, but yes. Oh, she was really, really in the movement. You know, she just went on to talk about dad's relationship with her. And so I just, you know, when mom says, oh yeah, she was there, that when she says that, I know that it carries a lot, the way that my mom speaks, you know, when she says about anybody, she was there.
Yes.
Doing the work.
And I just want to clarify for people who may not know, Medgar Evers was killed June 12, 1963, right before that March on Washington. And Dory was born on June 29, 1942. So I believe that makes her, she was 21 years old when Medgar Evers was killed. And of course, she was working very closely with him at the NAACP. And in a minute, we're going to hear from Deborah Menkard, who only has a few minutes, with an organization called Teaching for Change. Maybe, Greg, you can share a little bit about that. And Dory always worked very closely with Deborah Menkard, together with Lawrence Keyot. So, yes.
She seemed to work very closely with everybody I'm listening to. But definitely Teaching for Change. I see her always over at Bus Boys and Poets or at Sankofa. Every time Deborah would have a training or something, a program, it wasn't unusual to see Dory. And listening to you talk, Yana, about your father and Dory.
I'm sorry, Greg.
We got Deb too. Okay, good.
No, Deborah only has a minute or two, so then we're going to get back with you. Welcome, Deborah Menkard, Teaching for Change.
Hi, great to be here and great to hear Dr. Carr's voice and yours and everybody who's there.
Yes, and we're glad that you can jump out of your meeting to spend a minute or two. So what might be a highlight or two that you might want to share about Dory?
Yes, well, actually, just in the spirit of what I heard Dr. Carr speaking, and I apologize, I'm not sure who else is there, since I greet them as well.
And Frank Smith and me and Chuck and Iana.
Wonderful. Great. Hello to everybody. There are so many stories, as one knows, that one could share about Dory Ladner and her extraordinary full life. But given the current attacks on teachers and public education, I hope it's okay if I share a bit about her focus on the freedom to learn. And most of what I'll share is from an interview by Bowie students and Maestro Productions about freedom schools that we're going to post by the end of this week at the civilrightsteaching.org website. So people can actually hear her own voice sharing some of what I'll share right here. But as I'm sure people on the call have heard, Ms. Dory Ladner often spoke about how she loved school and learning, and that was supported by her family, her teachers, and the community who all wanted her to excel. In fact, she said the owner of a local juke joint would give her a dime for every A she got on her report card. And the main message she got from that is that people beyond her family were invested in her learning and her future. She also added that teachers don't get enough credit for the work that they did then and still do. And while textbooks often focus on segregated schools, her teachers were as well, if not better trained than the white teachers, and that they would dedicate their own time to offer one-on-one tutoring to students, for her classmates, and paid for extra classroom resources out of their unfairly small salaries. Dory commented about how she loved to read but had limited access to books and newspapers. She said the powers that be, and this is quote, wanted to keep us in the dark because knowledge is power, and that a medicine man would bring the Chicago Defender and Pittsburgh Courier, the only outside reading material that they received. He was also encouraging people to sign up for the NAACP, which was illegal. And to quote again from her interview, she said, I had this hunger and thirst for knowledge and wanted to know what was beyond where I was at Palmer's Crossing. I had a yearning, a passion, a desire to know more. And I just want to close by saying that Dory carried those community traditions from Palmer's Crossing to her interaction with students and teachers in the D.C. area and across the country. Every time a student doing a research project or a whole classroom wanted to talk with her in person or via Zoom, she said enthusiastically she agreed. And when they said how honored they were to meet her, she would turn the tables and say she was honored to meet them and impressed with their dedication to history and activism. So I'm going to miss her dearly, but from those interactions, I know her passion for learning and dedication to justice will carry on in the countless students and teachers who she touched in her lifetime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Deborah Menkart, and we're going to have you on again. We're going to be doing many tributes to Dewery coming up in the future. So thank you. And Greg Carr had mentioned how Dewery was definitely a book person. He saw her often at Sankofa, and they would talk about books. And definitely, as Greg Carr is also a teacher, he I'm sure he's happy to hear what you just had to say. Greg also mentioned Hollis Watkins, apparently, and I'm sure Frank knew Hollis as well. And one of the, I think, recent things that Dewery shared with Greg is that Hollis Watkins just came out with his book.
He sure did, a biography, a must-read, yes, absolutely. And just another extraordinary human being, just a deep soul.
Okay, Deborah, thank you so much, unless you want to stay on with us. But
I'll stay on for a couple of minutes just to listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Because we don't have too much time left. Frank, do you want to tell the listeners, you or Greg, about who Hollis Watkins was, who recently left us?
Hollis was one of those original organizers in Mississippi. And actually, as Dory mentioned, Hollis was also involved in the NAACP as a kid, high school kid, and went to jail in his little town, Boca Chitty. I don't even know how to spell it, but they call it Boca Chitty. It's an Indian name. I know that he and Hollis Watkins came. He and another two other SNCC workers came out of that area, and they were he was one of those people who remained true to SNCC until his death. He some of us, Dory left Mississippi, I left Georgia, moved to Washington, lived here for years, but Hollis stayed in Mississippi. He stayed in Mississippi until he passed away a few months ago. Yeah. And he was one of those guys who never went back to his hometown, actually, to organize. He became a member of the Muslim Nation and led the voter registration drives there himself. I think he ran for office one time himself, and was somebody who stayed there in Mississippi. And let me mention one other thing while I have a minute. And that is that, I'm the chair of the trustee board at my church, Baptist Church. And so in the Bible, there's something where one of the disciples says, "Lord, teach us how to number our days." And we try to figure out what we're going to do, you know, what it is that we want to leave behind, as Carr said. In Mississippi, there's a federal courthouse there now that's being named Fannie Lou Hamer. I saw a plaque for Mrs. Dewery in Natchez. We are talking about trying to find ways to memorialize Dewery and her services here in District of Columbia. She lived 60 years of her life in Washington, D.C., more years here than she did there. And so we'll find a way to sort of memorialize her services here for the disabled and for people that she cared about, mental health issues. And so, in Mississippi, in Alabama, one of my favorite stories, they named a part of that Selma Montgomery Highway for a guy named Bob Mance, who was one of those people that was with John Lewis that day when they put the cops on him. And I know that some of us have left our memoirs, our records, to various universities. I had a discussion with Joyce about what they were going to do with Dewery's papers. They're going to end up at some school someplace where they'll be used by researchers to teach about what happened during this time in the Civil Rights Movement. This was a glorious time in the history of this country, and we're talking about Hollis Watkins and about Dewery Badner, who were two key people in this whole program. And quite honestly, these are people who were on the front line for years, and we saw people around us getting killed and maimed and mutilated. And we went to a lot of funerals in our day, you all. I tell you that right now. But thank God, really fewer people than you might think were killed in this process. Although any death, this is horrible. And for us in the Civil Rights Movement, if we heard somebody got shot, like Big Evers, even President Kennedy, I mean, it just shot waves with us, because we figured if they're picking them off from the top, we may be next.
Absolutely.
So you live with the horror. And you live with the horror, the thought that you might have been knocked off at any time. So Dory is somebody that we'll all remember. We'll find a way to remember her here. They're going to find a way to remember her back in Mississippi, too, in Hattiesburg and in Palmer's Crossing.
Yes,
which I believe is still there. I'm not sure. I believe it's still there.
Yes, and I'm sorry. We're almost out of time. And I haven't. Chuck hasn't jumped in yet. I apologize, Chuck. You want us to have a word or two before we wrap up for the day? And of course, as Chuck and I know, Dory was a social worker. She worked for many decades at DC General. So someday we're going to bring those DC General stories onto the show. But Chuck, what would you like to say about your dear friend Dory Ladner?
Well, I'll just say that this has been an interesting program. I've enjoyed learning more about Dory from the Civil Rights Movement. Of course, Dory and I met here in Washington, D.C. We've exchanged many stories, but it's wonderful to hear. And I know a lot of what she's done, so I'm pleased to just have been able to listen and learn. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. And, of course, Lance is going to carry out the tradition. Dory and I used to work many Friday nights getting ready, helping her get ready for Lance's show. He's on from 10 a.m. till noon, A House of Soul. And I believe that her sister Joyce may jump in there occasionally, maybe every week, together with her grandson might be visiting Lance in the future. I also wanted to mention our friend, or Dory's friend and mine as well, Bob Dylan. In the future, we'll play some of the Dylan songs. And of course, he wrote a song about Emmett Till, but he also wrote really two songs for Dory, which we'll be playing in the future. Greg, your final words for today, which we do still have about, we have 4 or 5 minutes left.
I won't take 4 or 5 minutes. Just wanted to thank everyone and offer my deepest sympathy and condolences, Frank, Chuck, everybody, Deborah, Yana. Your father once said he was at a Native American, a rally for Native Americans. I don't think it was the one in 78 where he literally walked from California to D.C., but Dory was there. And he said, she is at everything I'm at. So if y'all want to look more dedicated, you need to look at her. Yes. And it reminds me, because one of the things she said, you know, these young people in SNCC, she distinguished between SCLC and SNCC. She said, we were like the Marine Corps. We were more mobile and we were zealots. We were like, move on over, we'll move on over you. And that spirit, it seemed like all of SNCC moved to D.C. back in the 70s.
Yes, well, and of course, Marion Barry was ordered to come here for fight for statehood. But I just want to say we have another guest we'd like to squeeze in, and that is Reverend Mark Thompson. Welcome.
Hey, Joni, thank you for squeezing me in. I know the time is short. God bless Frank and Greg and all the others who were there. I just wanted to call and pay tribute to Dory. And it's so important, Joni, that you do this and you always do this. But God bless Dory. And someone just mentioned how many SNCC people ended up in D.C. That's absolutely true. D.C. seemed like the place to go. I am so grateful and thankful to God that I got to touch the hem of Dory Ladner's garment. And you have no idea what it was to be a young man coming along in Washington, D.C., even as early as our early 20s. To have the guidance and the blessing and the constructive criticism of a legend like Dory Ladner, who stood next to Frank Smith and Eleanor Holmes Norton and, of course, her sister Joyce and others. And there was many a time when Dory would whisper in my ear the things that she approved of and the things that she guided me to do along my career in civil rights. So I truly miss her. And lastly, I'll say, you know, y'all, we all have to cross this path. And obviously, many make their transition when we don't want them to, at least expect it. But if there was one person I wished I could have had one more conversation with before she outran us to glory, it would be Dory Ladner. So, Dory, thank you. And we embrace your ancestry. And we pray that you will reside with us in our lives and in our struggle forevermore.
Yes, and Mark, please share Beautiful. Your other name.
Matsumela, Mafumo. Hey, WPFW family. Miss y'all.
Yes, and of course, also very close with Ayanna's dad, Dick Gregory. And I'm sure Dory is smiling to hear you talk. I know that she is. And we have 2 minutes left before we go to our final song. Greg, I'm wondering if you can quickly share some of the interviews. Dory has been recorded, thankfully, on many different platforms, and we'll be probably playing some of those into the future. But, Greg, off the top of your head, I'm sure you can name some of those.
The one that is much readily accessible, and I'm glad to hear Deborah say that the one that she did with them will be available soon. The Black Power Chronicles interview with, what's our sister is down at Fisk. It'll come to me. But you look up Black Chronicles and on YouTube, you'll see a long interview with her. The one at the Library of Congress, of course, with Joyce and Dory. And of course, we want to obviously offer our sympathy to Yodit, of course, her daughter. There's yes. So many of them. All you got to do is look her up on YouTube. And the last thing I'll say is that in addition to thanking you and Chuck, obviously, and PFW for having this, is that this underscores the importance of folks who were there, who were in this work, telling their own stories. Bobby Dick Gregory left his story. Mama Dory has so much out there that she can publish a memoir posthumously, just like Brother Hollis Sankofa Movement Man, Hollis Watkins did his. I think Dory Ladner needs to tell her own story. The scholars will get their crack at it, but it's important that things like this in these moments, the folks who struggled together, tell their own stories, because this society has a way of trying to shoehorn them into something. And Dory overflowed all boundaries. She's a Pan-Africanist. She and her then husband moved to D.C. to say 2 days later, she enrolled in at Howard to get that social work degree. And she was a global freedom fighter. Mm-hmm. So just look her up on YouTube and you'll find all kind of interviews. And the one with the history makers is unfortunately behind a paywall. But those interviews have been deposited with the Library of Congress. So the long interview she did with Larry Crowe, where she gets into the great detail, how it was, in fact, Vernon Dahmer's sister who recruited she and Joyce into the LMCP when they were at church in Hattiesburg. So all of those things are available. If you go to the Library of Congress website, you can get that too.
And tell listeners who Vernon Dahmer was.
Oh, Vernon Dahmer, of course, the legendary, again, Hattiesburg being the site for a lot of these folk, leader, fearless leader, as Frank said, and Bob Moses often said, you know, these fearless Mississippians who were able to, you know, you're talking about people like Clyde Kinnard, of course, and Victoria Jackson Gray. These are one of the Mississippians who weren't scared of nobody and who put the fear of God not only into white supremacy, but changed the fabric of this country. So you can look at elected officials, but you should probably look at those local folk who really did transform. And Vernon Dahmer was one of those brothers, of course, who lost his life, as we can talk about. But I know this is just the first of many, many tributes to Dory Ladner. So we'll get a chance to do that later.
Absolutely. You can. And of course, you can check out the SNCC Digital spot where you can read about Dory as well as the Zinn. Howard Zinn also has many stories about Dory Ladner. And as Greg just mentioned too, there will be many, and I believe WPFW, once the tribute to celebration of life for Dory will be held sometime, we're not sure when, but when that happens, I believe PFW will be doing perhaps a whole day in honor of Dory. And I also hope we do one in June 29th for her birthday. Maybe Greg, we can have a Dory Ladner Film Day, or a couple of films that, as well as books and music and much, much more. She loved music. And I encourage you to go back on the archives to Lance Reynolds' show this past Saturday from 10 to 12. It'll be up there for 2 weeks. He did most of the show honoring Dory with all kinds of listeners calling in. So thank you to our wonderful Mike Nocella. Oh, and Ayanna has a very, very important announcement to make about a wonderful play that she is doing this coming Saturday, Daughters of the Struggle. Ayanna, real quick.
I'm still muted. Sorry about that. Yes, I'll be doing Daughter of the Struggle on Saturday at Leisure World at 7 p.m. This is the one-woman show about growing up as a child of the Civil Rights Movement. Focuses on my father, my mother, Lillian Gregory, Dick Gregory, and the 10 children who they raised in the movement. So if you want to get more information, it's all on my, you know, Facebook and Instagram. If you just go to my page, Ayanna Gregory, you'll easily find it. But it's at Leisure World in the theater at Leisure World, which is in Silver Spring at 7 p.m. on this coming Saturday.
Yes, and it's a magnificent play. PFW sponsored it years ago, Daughters of the Struggle. And you can think about Dory as well when you go see that wonderful play. Yana, your 30 seconds for an outro song, or we'll see how much we get.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, yeah, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, yeah, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Celebrating 20 years, the New African Film Festival, presented by AFI and Africa World Now Project, brings the vibrancy of African filmmaking from all corners of the continent and across the diaspora to the DMV at the AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring from March 15th to the 28th. The festival features 26 films from 16 countries, including 3 years premieres and discussions with filmmakers. Explore the diversity of new filmmaking from Africa at the 2024 New African Film Festival. Tickets and full schedule at afi.com/silver. That's afi.com/silver. Or call 301-495-6700. 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Diverse City Fund is a grassroots grant source for change makers of color in the nation's capital. We fund social justice work by and for DC people of the global majority. Apply online now, no later than Friday, March 29th, by going to the website www.diversecityfund.org. You can send email to info@diversecityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and past recordings are online to answer all your questions. See www.diversecityfund.org or call 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Diverse City Fund ofrece subvenciones para agentes de cambio de color en la capital de la nación. Financiamos el trabajo de justicia racial y social por y para líderes de color en D.C. Solicite una subvención en línea hoy, al más tardar el viernes 29 de marzo, visitando el sitio web www.diversecityfund.org. Fechas y horarios y grabaciones de las sesiones informativas pasadas están en nuestra página web. Para preguntas, visiten www.diversecityfund.org o llamen al 202-743-0130. Eso es 202-743-0130.
You're invited to the timely book event with Jake Johnston about his new book, Aid State, Elite Panic, Disaster Capitalism, and the Battle to Control Haiti. Tuesday, March 19th at 6 p.m. How did a nation founded on liberation, a people that successfully revolted against their colonizers and enslavers, come to such a precipice, to a state of near collapse? Hear from Jake Johnston of the Center for Economic and Policy Research on how long-standing U.S. and European capitalist goals ensnared and re-enslaved Haiti under the guise of helping it. Jake will be joined by former member of Congress Andy Levine and Dr. Nathalie Fedre-Pierre, assistant professor of African Diaspora History at Howard University. That's Tuesday, March 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Bus Boys and Poets, 450 K Street, Northwest D.C. Get more information and RSVP. Go online to bit.ly/aidstatebooktalk. That's bit.ly/aidstatebooktalk. WPFW is your station for jazz and justice.